To continue reading where we had left off at verse 29 in the Old Testament reading for today, beginning again at verse 30. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words from each other. Behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declare the Lord declares. Behold, I am against those who have prophesied false dreams, declares the Lord, and related them and led my people astray by their falsehoods and reckless boasting. Yet I did not send them or command them, nor do they furnish this people the slightest benefit, declares the Lord. Very, very, very difficult words to hear. In an age of extreme subjectivism. That's one of those isms. I'll grant that you're never supposed to use in the pulpit. But there we did it. Subjectivism. What does that mean? What subjectivism means is that everything revolves around the subject, me. The one speaking it, the one believing it, the one doing whatever. Me. I'm the subject. That's subjectivism. And we live in an age of extreme subjectivism where everyone's opinion is as legitimate as anyone else's. Where everyone's belief is as legitimate as anyone else's. Where what one individual says the scriptures say is as legitimate as what someone else says the scriptures say. Extreme subjectivism. Whatever you think the word says, that's what it says to you. But not to me. And in our day, you dare not tell me what it says or what I got to believe about what it says. That is subjectivism. There are many ways this rears its ugly head, of course, when it comes to scripture study. There's the complete denial, of course, of Scripture. That's rather crass. Just don't believe what the Bible says at all. We may very well get reasons for that, and here come the different types of subjectivism. There's the old, what I call the pick and choose method. You pick what you like, you choose what you like, you ignore what you don't like, you throw out what you don't like, you cling to the one that you like, that you approve of in your subjectivism, and you just don't even pay any attention at all to that which you don't like, which you disapprove of in your subjectivism. There is the enlightened approach to subjectivism. The approach which says we are an enlightened people. We don't think like they did in the Dark Ages. We don't think like they did in biblical days. Everything that's written there is antiquated. If the biblical writers lived in our day and age, they would write an entirely different book. A book that's more in touch with people. A book that's more appealing to people. Now, this is just all antiquated stuff. Another form of extreme subjectivism. It isn't a new problem, as you heard in the Old Testament reading. The prophet Jeremiah, roughly 700 BC, already confronted it. Because it seems like when it comes to things of God, people just don't want to hear from Him. People just want to fashion God into a God of their own making, putting in all the little traits of a human personality that they like and say, that's what God's like. And how dare the Scriptures say that God is against something that I'm for? How dare it? No, not going to listen to it. Ignore it. It's antiquated. That's what the prophets were doing in Jeremiah's day, or those who called themselves prophets. You heard what he said. They stand up in front of people, and boy, doesn't this sound familiar? And they say things like, "I had a dream. I had a dream. And in that dream, God declared..." And our extreme subjective society is captivated by such a thing. "Really? I wish that would happen to me. I wish God would speak to me like that. What are you doing that I'm not?" And you also heard what God had to say about such an approach to declaring His word. "You're not speaking my word. You're speaking your own words. You're speaking words of your own device. You're using me to put your stamp of approval on something that I have not approved." And God comes right out and declares that He's against such an approach. That He says, if you stood in my counsel, if you listened to me, you'd know what my word is. You wouldn't be listening to the latest fad preacher out there. You wouldn't be listening to Oprah Winfrey when she decides to speak about God and theologize. You wouldn't be listening to such people. Because all they're telling you is words of their own device. And as God said, they furnish this people not the slightest benefit. Such words, which merely condone what an individual already likes, under the guise of "God says it's okay," lead people astray. God says He needs people who have stood in His counsel, who have listened to Him, and who declare what He says. You want to stand in the counsel of God? Stand before Scripture. For this is His revealed word. His revealed word. And what does it say there? Oh, something mighty unpopular in our day and age. We're all sinners. We have all, no matter what our intentions, fallen short of the glory of God. Every last one of us. And as such, we are a stench in the nostrils of God. How dare we say that? The Word says it. Now, people don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear what God says. And so we talk about other things. Things that are far more palatable. And we seldom, if any, ever anymore hear the word repent. It's an antiquated concept. And yet, that is the message of God's prophets. Repent, because we are sinful. Acknowledge the fact that we fall so far short of the goal that God has set of perfection. It isn't funny. And it doesn't matter how much money I make. It doesn't matter how popular I am. It doesn't matter how much influence I have in this world. None of that matters. The fact of the matter is, we are sinful. Word of God. And as sinful people, we need to acknowledge that, and we can't acknowledge that as long as we are saying, God says what I'm doing is okay. Repent was the message of the prophets. Repent was the message of John the Baptist. Repent was the message of Jesus Christ. Repent is the message of the apostles. Why? Because the reality is, as God's Word declares, we are a sinful people. And we stand in need of His grace and forgiveness. But the beauty is, of course, that was also the message of the prophets and of John the Baptist and of Jesus and of the apostles. Because you see, always, 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 the last word from God is the word of grace. A grace which says, in my Son, I forgive you. That's why I sent Him. A grace which says, in spite of who you are and what you've done, you're perfect in my sight because of Him. A grace which says, I want to live with you eternally. And I've made provision for that in Him. I don't know why this world is afraid to listen to the words of God. Because those words, though they may be hard to hear, all that talk about my being sinful and the truth of it, is always trumped by the word of grace. But you see, where there is no sin, there is no need for grace. And basically, those who ignore what the Word of God says about what they have done are also ignoring the Word of grace and are not acknowledging that there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. God says it very clearly. Except the message be my word, which is that word of sin and grace, it is of absolutely no benefit to you. In this day and age of extreme subjectivism, we need to be on the alert. Amen.